Cholera, the Trans-Siberian Railroad, and the Russian Revolution. Good evening, everyone. My name is Tim Tyler, and I am from Augusta, Georgia. I am currently a graduate student at the Harvard Extension School, getting a master's degree in history. I am working on a project for Dr. Kelly O'Neill in a class called Mapping the Russian Empire. We are studying the outbreak of cholera in Russia in 1892. So why is this important? Well, today, one of the largest issues in the world is the spread of coronavirus. Where did it come from? How does it spread? What countermeasures should we take against it? According to the Washington Post, as of January 10, 2022, 800,000 people have died in the U.S. from coronavirus. So the cholera epidemic of 1892 in Russia was their coronavirus outbreak of 2022. It was a deadly disease killing thousands that no one was sure how it was transmitted. To their credit, Russia had a number of scientists and medical doctors who did some research and were able to come up with some hypotheses on how the disease was passed from person to person. Russia is a massive country. About two-thirds of the country is located east of the Ural Mountains. When the Trans-Siberian Railroad was finally completed, it had to cross seven different time zones. The railroad stretched from Moscow to the Pacific port of Vladivostok for a distance of 5,750 miles. Many Siberian cities, which had previously been largely inaccessible, such as Yekaterinburg, Omsk, Novosibirsk, and Krasnoyarsk, could now be visited by outsiders. The map that accompanies this presentation shows the entire length of the Trans-Siberian Railroad, and it is an awesome feat of engineering. It was a prestigious project, opening up Siberia and later Manchuria to Russian development. Sergei Witte, the able Russian finance minister, was one of its principal backers. Tsar Nicholas II, the heir to the throne, was appointed as the president of the Trans-Siberian Railroad, although his father, Tsar Nicholas III, characterized him as, quote, a child who only had infantile judgments. The Russian Ministry of Ways and Communication produced a guide to the Great Siberian Railway, but it was mainly a propaganda piece. So when cholera broke out in Russia, all the railroads were instructed to begin countermeasures. Railroad employees were ordered to begin disinfecting and cleaning passenger cars and stations, and to provide boiled water for passengers to drink. Quarantine stations were set up every 67 miles. Mobile hospitals were also set up for sick passengers. In theory, with Tsarevich Nicholas II being in charge of the Trans-Siberian Railroad, he should have been willing to roll up his sleeves and get involved with implementing the countermeasures, saving thousands of Russian lives. Unfortunately, Nicholas had the reputation of being somewhat lazy and uncaring about the Russian people. After his coronation, when a disturbance broke out at Kod Dinka Fields and thousands of people were trampled to death, Nicholas, instead of visiting the injured, went to an elaborate reception at the French embassy. During the Russo-Japanese War, he received a telegram announcing that the entire Russian fleet had been annihilated at the Battle of Tsushima. Nicholas stuffed it in his pocket and continued to play a game of tennis. Witte was much more talented than Nicholas II. Nicholas's mother, Marie, characterized him once as, quote, a man of genius, unquote. He would eventually be promoted to count for his role in ending the Russo-Japanese War and would still later be appointed as prime minister of Russia after the attempted 1905 revolution. Later historians, such as Barbara Tuchman, who was a critic of the Tsar's regime, concluded that Witte was its most competent minister. But Witte, while a strong supporter of the Trans-Siberian Railroad, was not involved in daily railroad operations. The Zemstvos, local community groups, tried to fill the gap and get involved in fighting the spread of diseases, but was stymied by the imperial government, which did not want to delegate powers to communities, but stubbornly fought to preserve autocracy. The Zemstvos did not wish to overthrow the Tsar or even to push for a Russian parliament, but merely wanted to help sick Russians. It speaks wonders of how intolerant the Tsarist government was that they would try to block the Zemstvo's efforts and let Russians die of cholera. The Zemstvos did not seem to be universally admired in Russia. Significantly, when the Tsar's regime was finally overthrown in February 1917, the first prime minister of the provisional government was Prince Georgi Eugenievich Lvov, who had been the head of the Union of Zemstvos. Dr. Frank Klimau, in his book, The Cholera Epidemic of 1892 in the Russian Empire, pointed out that, quote, hygiene and sanitation are the greatest enemies of cholera, end quote. He further added, a town or district is liable to infection in direct proportion to its insanitary condition. Despite imperial edicts about cleanliness, a number of railroad stations throughout Russia were incredibly filthy, which helped cholera spread. A railroad health commission noted that a railroad station bathroom they visited had, quote, neither gutters for urine nor drainage tubes nor cesspools for refuse, end quote. So how did the construction of the Trans-Siberian Railroad allow cholera to enter areas previously inaccessible to the disease? Basically, by having indifferent sanitation at various newly constructed railroad stations across Siberia and Manchuria, and by having quarantine rules that were indefinitely enforced. One senior Russian doctor sent a series of telegrams to stations along the Trans-Siberian Railroad, ordering doctors in those towns to report what anti-plague measures they were enforcing. No one bothered responding. And why does it matter? It mattered because thousands of Russians died from the cholera virus, and the Russian government appeared to be largely uncaring. When the Zemstvos tried to help, their activities were squelched by the Ministry of Internal Affairs. Two ministers of internal affairs were subsequently assassinated, which probably was a good indication that they were not well-liked by the Russian people. Tsar Nicholas II, who ascended to the throne in 1894, placidly accepted everything that happened in Russia, rather than realizing there was serious discontent. When Vaclav Plev, his second minister of the interior, was blown up by a terrorist bomb, Nicholas wrote in his diary, "Thus it is his, God's, sacred will." So the cholera epidemic of 1892 in Russia exposed that the Tsar's imperial government was uncaring and unwilling to help the people. The cholera outbreak of 1892 became a step towards the Russian Revolution of 1917. The lack of concern by the Tsarist government for poor sanitary condition in Siberia and Urals was later reflected in that many of the people there became radicalized by their poor living conditions and became Bolsheviks. Nicholas II wrote about the Urals in his diary, quote, "People there are bitterly hostile to me," unquote. He and his family were subsequently executed by Bolsheviks in Yekaterinburg in 1918. Thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you this evening.